called business meeting. Thankfully, it's about a good thing. So it's and when the business meeting starts, I didn't bring my referee uniform, so I'm going to slip out because we are celebrating Father's Day today, and if I don't show up as soon as I can get back to Eustace, there will be nobody to pay the lunch bill. So, hey, that's right, yeah. Wyvon's not here today. She's being a good grandmother. My son Paul and his wife are on their way back from Europe, and we've had Mackenzie, our granddaughter, all week, and Vacation Bible School at Mount Dora went on, and they're finishing up this morning. And let me tell you, they had an enrollment of 393 kids. They finished the week with a little more than 50 professions of faith.
Praise God.
It's just incredible. And you're doing the same theme in August, so get revved up. It is really, really good. I know most of the movements already. So turn to Matthew chapter 1. They told me to get on with it, get through, so the business meeting doesn't last into lunch. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Just keep your finger there, and I'll get to it in a few minutes. I want to think for a few minutes this morning, and let me say this first of all. We live in a time and in a world where many, many, many people do not have a good experience or a good relationship or any relationship, or sometimes don't even know who their father is. And I want to say something to you. I'm not going to have you raise your hands or anything like that. I want to say something to you. If you're in that category, I want you to remember one thing. I'm going to be preaching about fathers and this, that. Now, I want you to remember one thing. You have a father, and he knows your name.
Hallelujah.
Your father is God in heaven, and he cares about you and loves you every day. And you watch every day. He gives you a blessing if you're just watching, because he loves you that much. But I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about who God chooses to use. Who would you choose for an important task? On February the 4th, 1789, George Washington was unanimously elected President of the United States. In 1792, that was repeated. He was unanimously elected a second time. He's the only president ever unanimously elected. Now, I'm sure you're shocked at that fact. But history says that Washington was elected because of his accomplishments and also his character. George Washington had a great record, first of all. He had some ups and downs in his military career, but when it really counted, he led the Continental Army to victory. And we don't think about this too much today. He led the Continental Army in victory over the greatest military might of its day and won. George Washington not only had a great record, but he was a very humble man. When he was inaugurated as president, he wore a simple broadcloth suit. The Senate wanted to give him this title. Now, this would be a lot of fun to have to say. His Highness, the President of the United States of America and the Protector of their Liberty. Washington asked them to please just call him Mr. President. George Washington was noted for his record, his humility, and his integrity. In his farewell address, Washington said, "I hold this maxim no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is always the best policy." And he was also a man of faith. It was George Washington who added to his presidential oath, "So help me God." Be nice to have George Washington to vote for today, wouldn't it? We know a lot about the man our founding fathers selected to be president of the United States, but we know a lot less about Joseph, the man that God chose to be, if you will, the stepfather of Jesus. God chose Joseph, a carpenter. He was of the family of David, whose ancestral home was Bethlehem. Joseph lived in Nazareth, the same city as Mary. And the story of the birth of Jesus in Luke tells us that Joseph was of the house and the lineage of David, King David. And so that put him in a very special position. And also that's why Jesus ended up being born in Bethlehem, because that was the ancestral home of David. From Matthew 13:55, we know that he was a carpenter. From Luke 2:41, we know he was committed to his faith. His family went to Jerusalem every year for the Passover. Everyone knew that the carpenter and his family in Nazareth during the Passover would not be home. They would be at the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem every year. You know, I like to hear about a man or woman who's so faithful like that to their church, that if they're not home, the next place people will look is the church to see if they're there. My wife's dad was that way. His name, he had a terrible first name. We didn't give it to our kids. We kept Wesley, his middle name. His first name was Arjun. I don't know where that came from, but he went through school being called Argyle and everything else. But I could tell you, if Arjun was not at work and his pickup truck was not at the house, the next place you looked was at the Baptist Church in Bermuda, Alabama, because he was that type of person. And, you know, we need more people like that. And I like to read this about Joseph to see that, you know, he wasn't going to be home on Passover. He was going to be at the Passover celebration. And the last clear indication we have of the presence of Joseph is in Luke 2:43. It says, when they were at the Passover, when Jesus was 12 years old, and they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind them in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew it not. That's the last time he's mentioned. And Luke 2:47-50, Jesus was left behind in the temple, and both of his parents went back to find him, but Mary did all the talking. Now I'm going to get in trouble. Son was trying to get home. Word had gotten to him that his father was dying, and he called his sister and said, I'm on the way. And he was about halfway there, and his sister called, and she said, don't rush too much. Said, Daddy just died. And the son said, well, did Daddy have any final words? And the sister replied, no, Mother was with him till the end. I told you. See, Wyvon's not here, so I guess. Yeah. Now I've really messed up. Rewind back a little bit. Back in Luke 2:33-35, we read of the meeting in the temple with Simeon. It's interesting because Simeon talks about the sword figuratively piercing the soul of Mary, but he doesn't mention Joseph. This may foreshadow the fact that Joseph was probably deceased when Jesus began his ministry. Average life expectancy in that day for a man would be in the late 30s, maybe early 40s. And when he got married, Mary was probably somewhere between 14 and 16 years old, and Joseph would have been older. He would have had his business established, so he was probably in his late teens or early 20s. So Joseph could have been as much as 10 years older than Mary. So at the time of Jesus starting his public ministry, when Jesus was 30 years old, that would have made Joseph close to 50 and Mary close to 40. And the statistical data and the biblical record most likely indicate that Joseph was dead before Jesus started his public ministry. But you know, fathers, we need to remember this, guys. Fathers, even if we are not there when our kids begin and grow up and complete their careers and all these other things, have a tremendous impact. And, you know, most of us, we do it willingly and lovingly. Somebody once said, a father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. That brings us to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18-25. We've talked about what we know about Joseph, but Let's look at what God saw in Joseph and anyone he desires to use. Now, you probably never thought on Father's Day you'd be listening to the Christmas story, but here it goes. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thinking about the kind of person God uses, let's look at what God saw in Joseph. First of all, we discover when we look at this passage of Scripture, God saw in Joseph a just man. A just man. A righteous man. The word used here that's translated in the King James Version, just, means someone who does what is right and holy. Someone who does what is right and holy. It's interesting to note in our world today, often pastors and religious leaders are made fun of or even condemned more soundly because than say what a normal person, let's say, would be. Just watch the news. If a man is a plumber or a truck driver and they get arrested for DUI, it'll be on the news maybe, and they'll say a Lake County man was arrested for driving under the influence. But if a pastor's arrested, guess what they'll say? A Lake County pastor was arrested for driving under the influence. Now, Bible teachers in the Bible are held to a higher standard by God. But you know, but it's interesting, God expects everyone to be righteous no matter what your vocation. Amen. You would have thought that when God looked down from heaven, he would have picked out a priest or a Levite to be the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus. But instead, it says he chose a carpenter. You see, the requirement that God had was not vocation. It was character. He was a just man, a righteous man. Proverbs 10:24 through 25 says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As a whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation. If you would be used of God, have you been found righteous? Only the righteous are approved by God. Thankfully, righteousness is a grace gift. It's not something we earn, okay? Romans 4:9 says in the last part, for we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So guys, if you say, well, I can't be righteous because I've messed up. Listen, faith causes God to count your faith, your trust in God, as righteousness. Not only was Joseph a just man, he was a kind man. In Matthew 1:19, we read, when Joseph found Mary was with child, he decided to put her away. That was equivalent to the divorce. He would put her away quietly. Now, he could have made a public spectacle out of her. He could have really made a big deal out of it, maybe having her stoned for being unfaithful to him. But even putting her away and divorcing her, in the least, it would have ruined her life and her reputation. You see, I believe when God's looking for a man to use, he's looking not only for a man who's righteous, but he's looking for a man who's kind, who moves in love and mercy. man of mercy and love and kindness. Now, my father was not what you would have called a strict disciplinarian. Now, we did have discipline in our home. And we had a lot of freedom, and we had a lot of fun growing up and things like that. But we did have discipline in our home, and I felt the sting of his belt more than once. Now, some of you are just shocked that my father would whip us with a belt. And I was at the time, too. I was really shocked every time. But I lived, and I got over it, so you get over it, too. Now, Daddy would whip us with his belt. Most of the time, he would whip us with his belt because Mama had told him to whip us with his belt. Because we'd come in, he'd come in from work, and she'd say, you're not going to believe what these boys did. Go in there and whip them. And Daddy would go in there and whip us, but he never really whipped us with great zeal. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, when you just get home from work, it's kind of hard to work up mad enough to whip them good. So, now, Mama was a little different. Yeah, Mama hit us with whatever was available. Broom, switch. I don't think she ever hit us with a frying pan, but I thought she thought about it. But you know, it was all right. Because all of us, my brother, myself, my sister, we all knew that that discipline was always tempered with mercy. Mark Twain put it this way: forgiveness is the fragrance that the flower sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Do not take this story lightly. Sometimes we read over things like this and just sort of pass them off. I can only imagine how Joseph felt when he thought that Mary had been unfaithful to him. I can only imagine how crushing that was. But instead of vengeance or revenge, he chose mercy and forgiveness. Luke 6:36 says, "Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." So when God was looking for a man, he found in Joseph a just man and a kind man, but he also found a spiritual man. In verse 20 of Matthew 1, it's interesting. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Joseph does something we don't expect from a carpenter with rough hands. Now, he wasn't the type of guy that would have been on this old house, you know. And that's one of my favorite shows. A guy on there named Tommy, he's forgot more about carpentry than I'll ever know. But he has all these tools and this, and, you know, they had this trailer they pull around. The tools in that trailer probably cost more than my house. And they go around doing all these things. This was back in Bible times. Think about it. This is Joseph. He was a man who took logs. He didn't go down to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy them pre-cut. He took logs, and he took those logs, and through manual labor using hand tools, he shaped them and transformed them into useful things. This was a guy probably who had big calloused hands and strong arms. He was not a priest or a scholar, but he did something you really wouldn't expect from a guy who's a rough carpenter. It says he thought on these things. That word thought there means to ponder or to meditate. And, you know, I look at that and I thought, man, yeah, that's pretty good, until I got to reading closely and realized he, in his quiet time of thinking about this with Mary and what all was going on, he did something that most of us men are really good at. He fell asleep. I'm not the best sleeper in the world, but if there was a contest, I could probably get at least honorable mention. Joseph was upset, and his future wife had been unfaithful, and he was going to have to start over again and do something about her, and there was a lot of tension, and his heart was broken. And I know most women would be crying and just unable to sleep for days and things like that, but being a man, he thought about it for a while. And, you know, sometimes thinking for us men is a really strenuous exercise. And apparently he got tired enough that he finally fell asleep. And while he was asleep, Joseph had a dream. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, "Carpenter, pay attention." No, that's not what he said. What did he say? Angel said, "Joseph." Think about that for just a minute. God knew his name. The angel of the Lord came and called him by name. He says, "Joseph, thou son of David." He didn't come and say, like everybody else in the community, you know, a lot of us get our, you know, it's, you don't have to think real hard to come up with where Miller came from. You know, I'm sure way back we probably milled corn and grain. And you don't have a hard, difficult time coming up with the name Carpenter. Pretty good idea what they did, you know, at least some of their ancestors. And so this was guy was, he was probably known as Joseph the Carpenter. But the angel of the Lord looked at him and says, "Joseph, son of David, you are not just a poor carpenter. You are in the line of the king, the man who is after God's own heart. You see, when God was looking, and he found a person who was just and kind and spiritual. That's the guy he chose for the task. But one other thing I see here, he was obedient. Verse 24, it says, I just can't get over that sleeping part. But anyway, it says, "Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife." He just woke up and did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. How difficult we make things, right? Guys, don't we? You ever take something and just beat it to death? You know, just think it through. Squeeze all the juice, life, everything else out of it. And Joseph has just been told to take this woman who possibly was unfaithful to him, and an angel comes to him in a dream and says, "Joseph, that child is of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. You take her as your wife." What old Joseph do when he woke up? Took her as his wife. Simple as that. An obedient man. A remarkable story of a remarkable man who just did what God told him to do. This year's Vacation Bible School, there's a verse, Isaiah 30:21. That's the memory verse, okay? Write that down, Isaiah 30:21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left." That's the scripture passage this year. Joseph heard from God and just simply did what he said. A great German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, once said, "One act of obedience is better than 100 sermons." Okay? So this doesn't feel like 100 sermons. We're going to finish up. When God was searching for the right kind of person for a special task, he looked for someone who was just, righteous, someone who was kind, merciful, someone who was spiritual, and someone who would be obedient. That man was Joseph. I always found it interesting. $2 billion is spent on Father's Day? Is that what they said during the offering? $2.5 billion? Whew. Must be $800 billion for Mother's Day. I got 3 new shirts. Yeah. And 3 new pairs of underwear, both of which I needed. Only problem is I got to pay for them too. But, you know, on Mother's Day, isn't it interesting, guys? We come in on Mother's Day and we preach about mothers and the good things and the great things about mothers. And all the mothers go out with a rose or whatever and just look so righteous and holy. Then we do essentially the same thing on Father's Day, except we get a pen. Oh, okay. Well, I really like that. That's cool. I'm going to have fun with that. Yeah. Yeah, I hope, with guiding light. I hope my granddaughter doesn't steal that from me. Only problem was when I got this, now I'm straying terribly away from the sermon, but I wondered, you know, I have a drill that when I push the button on it, a light comes on and shines right where I'm drilling. Now, I had concern about when I'm riding. But anyway, the light will be shining at the ceiling. But anyway, I like that. But you know, we guys, you know, you come in on Sunday and we preach on Father's Day and we talk about all the good things about good fathers. And you know, if you're like me, you leave thinking, man, I've got a long ways to go. And this sermon's no different, okay? I close with a simple question, guys. When God is seeking someone for a special task in your home, will he find a man who is just, a man who is kind, a man who is spiritual, a man who's obedient? In your house, will he find a man of faith? Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the message in it. And Father, in these few moments, as we come to the conclusion of this part of the service, Father, you will speak to our hearts, especially us guys. You've been so good to us and blessed us so richly. Father, I pray for everyone here. I pray especially for the fathers, and especially those fathers that still have children that they impact every day or maybe in the home with them still. Father, I pray that as fathers and even grandfathers, we will live such a life that on the day that we die, and we're laying that casket, that our children and grandchildren will come by and remember that we loved you, our God, and that we were found faithful to the end. Father, in these few moments, as we pray together and as the altar's open, lead us as we respond to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.